Conflict is something which characterizes this sinful and this fallen world. Many people today, many well-intentioned people, have this great aspiration that they might be peacemakers and be involved in the great and noble goal of bringing peace into divided communities and divided peoples. We have governments that are continually bringing forth policies that they say will bring peace and stop conflict. We have got many different religious organizations, and the great purpose they say for their existence is so that peace might be overcome, or peace might be brought and conflict overcome. So we see how many labor and many toil, but there might be peace, that we might have peace in this world, and peace among the peoples of this world. The great reality, of course, is the reason why there is such a drive and such a push for peace, the reason why many well-intentioned people seek for peace, is because this world is engulfed in conflict. The great drive for peace is fueled all the time by the never-ending conflict in the lives of men and women in this sinful and fallen world. Conflict exists between nations because of sin. Conflict exists in different countries because of sin. Conflict exists in different communities and between different communities because of sin. Conflict exists in families and between families because of sin. And so God's word is absolutely clear as to the cause of conflict and trouble and strife in this world. Job 14 and 1 says, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." Full of conflict, full of strife, full of things that agitate, full of war. Man, sinful man, is the root cause of all the trouble that characterizes this fallen and sinful world. And so if peace, real peace, is ever going to be enjoyed by men, it will only come about as men are changed by the grace and power of God in the gospel. This is the only answer. This is the only solution to the conflict that engulfs this world continually. The gospel of grace. This is why the gospel is called the gospel of peace. Because that is what the gospel does. It brings peace to hearts and lives. It brings peace to families. It brings peace to communities. It brings peace even to nations. It is the gospel of peace. Romans 10 and 15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." The answer to the broken and fallen world that we're all part of is the gospel. Anything else, even though it might be well-intentioned, is doomed to fail. Because only the gospel of salvation in Christ addresses the problem. The problem is sin. Man's sinful state, man's sinful heart. That is where conflict comes from. And the gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ, is the only thing that addresses that serious and that very solemn issue. This evening, as we come to God's word, I want us to look at how this peace in the gospel can be experienced in the life of sinful man. The text that I am taking is verses 5 and 6, 1 Timothy chapter 2. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." The Apostle Paul, in this chapter, is talking about how we can enjoy peace in this life. And he has got peace in view in this chapter. In verses 1 and 2 it tells us, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Notice what Paul has in view here. He's speaking about a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so Paul is speaking about how we can have peace here. And this is not just peace in the spiritual sense. This is peace in a world of sin, because he's speaking about kings and having peace with all those that are in authority. When the gospel reigns within a society, That society has changed. There is peace. In verse 3, Paul says, this is pleasing to God, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And so, this is what God desires. This is what God is pleased with. This is acceptable to God when peace reigns and rules in the hearts and lives of men. In verse 4, this is what God desires for all men. Notice what it says. Who will of all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? It is God's desire that all men repent. The gospel is for all men. It is for the hardened sinner. It is for the self-righteous sinner. This is God's desire for all men, that they will come to enjoy this peace in the gospel. Then we come to our text in verses 5 and 6. Paul now speaks of how this peace that is good and that is acceptable before God and that which all men need is realized. How we can have it. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. What we are brought to see is this peace. This peace can only be realized, can only ever be enjoyed through a mediator. A mediator. The key to obtaining and being in possession of the greatest peace and the only true peace is knowing this one who is the mediator between God and man. And that is the key to understanding and to experiencing God's peace. It is this mediator that is mentioned here in verse 5. In reality, man's focus should not be on peace, but on the one who is able to bring peace. And that is what our focus ought to be on. This is where so many go wrong. Man sets peace as the great goal. And we see this right across the nations of this world. Everybody is desiring peace. But what they look at is the prize. Not the one who's able to bestow the prize. They're looking at what God can give instead of looking at God himself. But this evening, I want us to think upon this great mediator. Man's great mediator. The one who is able to impart this great gift of peace. Bring peace to men's hearts and lives. As we think then of man's great mediator, there's a number of things that I want to draw to your attention this evening. Notice firstly about this mediator, the purpose of this mediator. The purpose of it. Verse 5 tells us, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The word mediator here simply means a go-between or a reconciler. It is the role of bringing together two sides that are facing each other in a disagreement. That is what a mediator does. Very often the help of a mediator is called for in different aspects in life. In a family setting, when there is trouble, perhaps trouble within a marriage, and the couple in the marriage cannot see a way through the difficulty, then they will seek for help and advice. They will seek for a mediator who can help them through their difficulty and help them through their problems. We live in Northern Ireland, of course, and we are familiar with trouble. Trouble in our communities. Trouble sometimes on our streets. And again, when this happens, how often we hear the call for mediation. For a mediator or mediators to come along and try to resolve the issue and bring peace, bring calm once again to the situation. And so we are familiar in what a mediator does. But the purpose of this mediator in our text is not to bring the state of calm and peace between man and man. But instead, notice here, his purpose is to bring the state of peace between God and man. Because he is the mediator between God and man. And therefore, this one is here to work a peace between God and man. To bring a state of peace about. This mediator, a go-between between God and man, therefore teaches us a number of things about our relationship. About the relationship that exists between God and man. It teaches us this relationship is broken. The very existence of a mediator between God and man implies a problem. It implies difficulty. It implies conflict between God and man. A mediator is required when people are at war. They're not required when there is harmony. but only when there is a breakdown. A breakdown in a relationship. And so the mediator between God and men clearly points to the terrible truth that the relationship between God and man is a broken relationship. There is conflict. There is trouble here. There is an issue. This is something that all men must recognize, that in their sin, they are in a broken relationship. Man in his sin, in reality, is at war with God. God is at war with your soul tonight, because your soul in its sin cries out for God's judgment and God's wrath to fall upon it. There is not harmony, there is not peace here. There is conflict. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God." God in the beginning created man to live and commune with him. He made man a living soul to know God and to love God and to worship God. But when man sinned against God, this holy and this happy relationship was broken. And instead of man loving God and worshiping God, he has turned his desires and affections to self. And this is what we see all around us. Men who worship themselves and who live for the things of time and have no regard for God. Romans 1:25 tells us what man has done in his sin. He has changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. And you see what man has done? He worships the creature and not the Creator. God made man to worship him and to love him. But man has ended that. And now he worships himself. He worships the things of this world. The evidence that man's relationship with God is broken is all around us. And we continually see it. Men live as they please. They have no thought of God. They couldn't care less what God's word says. They have no regard for God's day or for God's truth. They live to please themselves. And when you bring the truth of God to men and tell them how God wants them to live, speak to them of the gospel, they come across in this way. How dare God tell me what I want to do? Or how I want to live? So we see how men are living in rebellion against God. In rebellion. Romans 8:7 says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. That means our minds, man's sinful mind, is at war with God. And so here we have this broken relationship. This broken relationship in which God in His justice and His wrath is not only the enemy of man, but man because of their sin are at war with God as well. And there is this terrible situation, this conflict, this broken relationship. But the mediator not only teaches us that there is a relationship that is broken, but the mediator also implies this relationship is beyond repair by man. It is beyond the repair. No man is the one who, by his sin, has destroyed this relationship with his Creator. Yet he is now incapable. Man in his sin is incapable of repairing that which he has destroyed. And again, this is something we must recognize as sinful men. We cannot. We cannot try and patch up by our own efforts and good intentions our broken relationship with God. That is simply impossible. We need a mediator. We cannot. We don't have the ability. We do not have the power to patch up what we have destroyed. We simply cannot do it. We could use the illustration of someone who was an art collector. And this person, they collected all the finest paintings they could get their hands on. And they say one of the world's finest paintings was put up for sale. And this art collector, he decided he would purchase it. And so he went to the auction and he purchased this fine painting. He paid a huge amount of money that he might have this very expensive painting. And then the painting was to be delivered to his home. On the day the painting was to be delivered, the excitement and expectation was great. It was delivered, and then this collector, he quickly and carefully opened his package. But with great shock and in rage, he found that it was not a valuable ancient masterpiece, but it was a scrawly replica by an unknown amateur artist. He was so enraged. He decided he would contact the person who had sold it to him. And he called him up. And he said, "What have you done? This is not what I've paid for. This is not genuine. This is not the masterpiece that I've paid all of this money for." And the response of the seller came back, "Well, I thought you would have liked it. I thought it was good enough." Now, this is only a silly fictional story, but it illustrates what men think they can do in regard to God. God made man perfect, that man might live in obedience to him, that man might please him. That is why God made man perfect, that man might worship and love him and obey him. But man, in his sin, he has cheated God, and he has rebelled against God, and he's went his own way. And many think that they can give to God their best, and that will please God. "I'll give to God my best. I'll try my best, and sure, that will please God." Oh, we must understand this. Men and women, understand this tonight. God will never accept man's best. That is simply not good enough. Man's best is just a shoddy mess. It's useless. God only accepts that which is perfect. Absolutely perfect. And that's all that God will ever accept. Because he is a holy, he is a righteous, he is a pure God. Isaiah 64 and 6 says, But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That is to say, our very best, the very best that we can do, is just filthy rags before God. Contaminated rags, polluted rags, disgusting rags. That's what it means. And that is our best in God's sight. And God cannot accept that. It is not pleasing to him. And so therefore, we need a mediator. We need one who is able to step in our place and provide that which we need. That which we need that will make us acceptable before God. Because we cannot. We have not got the power. We have not got the skill. Just like that amateur artist has not got the skill to produce a masterpiece. We cannot do that. We are so weak. We are so feeble in our sin. It is simply impossible. And so we see what the mediator implies here. It implies a broken relationship. And that broken relationship is beyond our repairing. We cannot deal with it. We cannot sort it out. But then notice not only the purpose of the mediator here, notice the person of the mediator. Verse 5 says again, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Christ Jesus is the one mediator between God and men. He is the one that can occupy this role and mediate for man before a holy God. A mediator that they might be able to fulfill their role properly must have certain qualifications, must have certain abilities. And this is absolutely essential. The mediator in any dispute must be able to speak freely and must be able to speak openly to both sides. And they must possess the ability to speak to them as their equal. You wouldn't send a child to negotiate in some great dispute between two nations. You have to send one who is qualified, got the ability, can speak with knowledge and understanding, and be equal with the two sides that he negotiates between. And this is why Christ Jesus is the one mediator. The one mediator between God and men. Only he possesses the ability. Only he has the qualifications to mediate in this broken relationship between God and men. That's why he's described here as the one mediator. The one mediator. Because only he has the ability, the qualifications to mediate. And when we consider Christ's qualifications, when we consider what he possesses as our mediator, we are brought to see so clearly that there can be no other Savior. And there can be no other way of salvation. When we examine the qualifications that Christ has, then there just simply cannot be any other way in which men can be saved and can have peace with God. Christ is the only one qualified to be our mediator because of who he is. Because of who he is. In this verse, he is described as the man. The man, Christ Jesus. And this, of course, is clearly identifying Christ's humanity. Christ, that he might mediate for men, must himself be a man. If he's going to represent men, he must be man. Christ is the eternal one. He is the one that is from everlasting to everlasting. He is God the Son, the eternal second person of the Trinity. But as God the Son, he could never represent men because he is God. And that's why Christ came into this world. That's why he became man, that he might be our representative, that he might be our mediator. That's why he was born of a woman, and born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Listen to the words of Hebrews 2:17 concerning Christ. It says, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Notice what Paul is saying there. It behoved him. It was a necessity that he was made like unto his brethren, that he was made man. Why? To be a faithful and merciful high priest, to make reconciliation for his people, for their sin, to bring peace. And so Christ, to be our mediator, he had to become man. As man, he can speak for us. He can represent us. But of course, Christ is not only a man, he is the God-man. In chapter 1 here in Timothy, it tells us in verse 2 in chapter 1, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a reference to the fact that Christ is God. He's not only man, but he is God. He is God the Son, the Eternal One. And so is our mediator, Christ, not only is able to represent us because he's man, but because he is God and equal with God, he can speak to God for us. Remember what the conflict is? The conflict is between God and man. That's where the war is. God is at war with sinful man. Sinful man is at enmity with God. And so therefore, if we are to have a mediator, we must have one who is able to speak for man and speak with God as God's equal to mediate. There's only one. It's the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ can represent us, and he can represent us before his Father's face. You see, there simply can be no other Savior because of who, or no other mediator or Savior because of who Christ is. The God-man. The one that is able to speak and speak with God for us. Notice Christ is not only qualified to be our mediator because of who he is, but also because of what he has done. We have already considered why we need a mediator. It is because we have sinned, and now in our sin we cannot please God. Any righteousness that we could ever produce is second rate at best. It is shabby, it is shoddy, and unacceptable to a holy God. But Christ, our mediator. Think of what he has produced. What he has done in his life. He was and is the sinless one. The perfect one. He said of himself in John 8:29, I do always those things that please him. That is, please his Father. God the Father testified of Christ in Matthew 17:5, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God is pleased with Christ. The Holy Spirit bore witness of his glory. In John 1:32, it says, the Spirit descended from heaven like a dove and abode upon him, coming upon him, confirming who he was, the glorious second person of the Trinity, the Holy Son of God. And so we have the threefold testimony of the Trinity to the glory and perfection of Christ. Now, if you wanted one to speak for you before God, if you wanted one to seek your peace and acceptance, surely this would be the one. The one who God the Father delights in. The one who pleases His Father. The one who does the will of His Father. The one who has worked and lived a sinless, a perfect, a righteous life. What a meteor that would be to stand before Holy God and represent us. Can anyone else do this? Can anyone stand in God's presence, perfect righteousness, having lived a righteous, a sinless life? Not one. Only Christ can. And so He is the one who is qualified not only because of who He is, but also because of what He has done. He is the righteous, the perfect one. And as our mediator, He stands and pleads His own righteousness as our peace. Then notice Christ is not only the one who is qualified to be our mediator because of who He is and what He has done, but also because of where He is. Where He is. If you turn over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9 and the verse 24 tells us where Christ is. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. It says there, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Christ has entered into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God for us. That's where our mediator is. That's where the mediator between God and man is, before God's face, before the face of God the Father. Christ is there pleading for us. But what is Christ pleading? Well, turn back a couple of chapters in Hebrews chapter, in the book of Hebrews, to Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 25 tells us what Christ is pleading. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He ever liveth. He is pleading Himself. That is really the thought here. He is the ever living one. He's pleading His life. He's pleading His perfect righteousness. He's pleading His victory over death. That's what He's pleading. He holds up His wounded hands. He holds up His nail-pierced brow. He holds up His wounded side. And He says, listen, I will plead peace for my people. And that's where Christ is. And that's what He continually does. Endlessly pleading for His people before the Father's face. Surely all men would desire Christ as their mediator. Surely all men would turn to Him and say, listen, I know I'm at war with God because of sin. But here is one who can represent me, speak for me, plead peace for me with a holy God. Why would anyone continue on in sin? Continue on in this broken relationship with God when you can know peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? What a person the person of the mediator is. God's only begotten Son, who eternally lives to represent His people and plead their peace. Is Christ your mediator tonight? Can you say He represents me? Can you say, as I live in this world, I know I have peace with God because Christ pleads for me before His Father's face? Is He your Savior? Have you taken Him as yours? This is not enough to know these truths. You must have a personal interest in them. You must lay hold upon Christ by faith and say, He is my mediator. He represents me. So we have the person of the mediator, the purpose of the mediator. Notice finally here the provision of this mediator. Verse 6 tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. When a mediator seeks to find an agreement between two parties, what normally happens is they try and find some common ground upon which both sides can meet and agree, and then they build upon that. Let's get something that they're both agreed upon. Let's get something they can both meet upon, and then let's build upon that. Let's build our peace upon that. But as we think of Christ as our mediator, what we come to see is He is the place, the only place where God and men can meet. Christ is the place where God and men can meet. He is not only the mediator, but He is also the provision of the ground of peace. And that is what is so unique about this mediator. That is what is so unique about Christ. He is the one that not only mediates for us, but He provides the ground of peace for us. Verse 6 says, who gave Himself a ransom for all. And this is a reference to how He was led, how He laid down His life. He suffered, He shed His blood. So we that are by nature and sin God's enemies might be made the friends of God. Because God is a just and a holy God, He demands a punishment for sin. Man's sin and transgressions of God's law cannot simply be ignored by a holy God. They cannot be swept under the carpet. They cannot be forgotten about. God will not, because He is a holy and just God, God will not turn a blind eye to our sin. If He did, He would be unjust and unrighteous. If man is to suffer the consequences and pay the debt for his own sin, then he will forever be cast into hell. And be forever in the torments of God's hell for all eternity. And so here we have the problem. On one hand, God's righteous justice must be met in full. While on the other hand, if man personally is to suffer for his own sin, then he will never experience peace or salvation. He will never. And this is the great problem. This is the great dilemma that man has. God is holy, God is just. God must punish sin if He's going to be a just and righteous God. But if man is to suffer for his own sin, he will never experience peace. Praise God for the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. Christ as our mediator has personally made provision for sinful man. And He offered Himself unto God upon the cross when He gave Himself a ransom for all. It was in the stead of His people. He endured their hell, their wrath. He endured the just wrath of God so we might enjoy the peace of God. He endured hell that we might come to enjoy heaven. He endured what it was to be forsaken, that we might enjoy what it is to be brought in. What provision the only mediator between God and man has made for His people. He is the ground of peace. Him you are forever safe from the wrath and judgment of God. Outside of Him, outside of His provision, there simply is no hiding place. There simply is no shelter from the righteous judgment of a sin-hating God. Romans 5 and 10 says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Reconciled through the blood of His cross. This is the great provision. He laid down His life. He gave His life so that we might have ours. It is only through the death of Christ, the death of the one mediator, that man can be reconciled to God and peace between God and man realized. Sinner tonight, no one else is able to provide this reconciliation that you need. You must have Christ as your Savior. Your mediator. How important that is tonight. How important it is that you realize that you understand that. In closing, I want to leave two verses of Scripture with you. First one I want to leave with you is Psalm 7, verse 11, where it says, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. That is God's response to sinful men. God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day that you live in your sin, God's anger, God's wrath is like a drawn bow and arrow ready to be shot out of your soul. God's just anger is there hanging over your head, ready to strike you at any time. God is angry with the wicked every day. But then listen to the words of Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. For those that are in Christ, those that are in the mediator, sheltering him, make him theirs. This is the state of peace. Which verse of scripture do you fit into tonight? Do you know Christ as your mediator? Are you trusting in his provision? Do you know peace? Real peace, eternal peace, peace with God. Oh, may it be the experience of each one tonight. They realize their condition as sinners, and they turn from their sin and seek the Lord and come to enjoy the greatest peace that man can ever know. Peace from his sin and peace with God. May God even work his grace in each one of our lives for his own name's sake. Amen.